As a grant reviewer, I've seen this so many times where a grant application can be literally perfect for grant funding, but don't get funded because they missed this detrimental step. And you need to learn how to avoid that step. Keep listening to find out how to not make this very mistake when maximizing your chances of winning grant funding.
You're listening to Nonprofit Unplugged with your host, the number one nonprofit lady, Shakira Relaford. This show teaches you how to start and grow your nonprofit with ease. Simply put, this is Nonprofit Made Easy.
What's up? Your number one nonprofit lady is back, and I'm riding solo today in the studio. That's okay, though, because today's episode is going to be centered all around the importance of collaborative partnerships. Uh-oh. I know. I said the word partnership. Ugh. I have to work with people? Dang. You mean to tell me that in my nonprofit and in my small business, right, I have to actually work with other people? Ugh. And what the heck does that have to do with federal dollars? A whole lot. Let me explain, okay? Not having collaborative partnerships actually is this detrimental step that I keep referring to, right? I've been talking a lot about this on Twitter lately, but this is the detrimental step, right? The lack of collaborative partnerships truly can make or break your chances of getting grant funding. Okay. Most cases, when you are applying for federal grant funding, even whether it be on a state level or your local, like citywide level, or just the federal level, right? Any type of public dollars requires almost for you to have or show that you have committed collaborative partnerships. And that's kind of a tongue twister there. Committed collaborative partnerships. Yeah, you need to have them. Why do you need to have them? Well, let me tell you. Collaborative partnerships can have a lot of positives than you may realize, okay? They tend to go a long way when you're creating and thinking long term, when wanting to have a strong program or build and carry on the sustainability of your nonprofit for long term. Because remember, 80% of nonprofits fail and they don't thrive, right, past that 5 to 7 year mark. Why? I'm going to tell you, it has to be because of a lack of collaborative partnerships. So finding the right partners, okay, right, when you are writing your grant out and you state those sustainability structures, and that obviously right now is talking about the collaborative partnerships, you definitely have to include them, right, in your writing. But more so, think about the right types of partnerships that you're writing about, right? If I have a, let's say, drug and alcohol prevention program that I'm writing about or writing for, okay? And this is air quote, right? Collaborative partnership would be to work with law enforcement, work with safety and healthy youth coalitions, okay? Those are right partnerships to have. Okay, a wrong partnership, and I don't want to say wrong because this isn't wrong, but it doesn't make the most sense based off the program and the type of grant that you're applying for, right? But having a partnership with Walmart isn't going to do you much good, right, when you have a drug and alcohol prevention program. So thinking about the right types of collaborative partners is just as important as establishing those partnerships, right? I had my good friend Sean Glaze on, and they explained why or even how you can get grant funding by not having to write your grant. And one strategy, if not the number one strategy, is building and establishing and strengthening collaborative partnerships, okay? So what is a collaborative partnership? A collaborative partnership is a partnership, right, that in turn creates a commitment level, okay, towards an organization or business that helps to maximize costs, revenue to strengthen programs and help build efficiency within the program or within the business. Okay. They really take a vested interest and action really in growing that organizational capacity and taking it to the next level. Okay. So those collaborative partners can be anyone in healthcare. It could be anybody in the community. It could be anybody that works in law enforcement, local government, school, education, whatever the background is, whether it be an individual person, whether it be an organization that's also a 501c3, or whether it be a LLC or corporate business, okay? These collaborative partners get connected and state, right, that they're committed towards X program, which would be your program, and here's how, okay? That's typically in the form of a memorandum of understanding or MOU, or they would write a letter of commitment, okay? LLC. Letter of commitment, right? That demonstrates their role and responsibilities and expectations of the partnership for this X organization, right? And actually the how, as far as the implementation process goes, right? And so those are the types of things that you have to include in your grant when you're submitting, especially your federal grant, right? Because those are the things that they want to see. How are you really saying that, like you say earlier in your grant application, how are you actually building the community and strengthening that capacity, right? And that is through collaborative partners, right? Or finding the right collaborative partners, more importantly, okay? So the RBW strategy has a list, and I liked their list, honestly, having those collaborative partnerships for the nonprofit space. And I want to touch on them some, but really expand the level of understanding, because it makes no sense, right, to say, hey, you have to do this without understanding the why. Like, why do I have to do this? Well, number one, to me, off the top of my head, having a collaborative partner means that you get to increase your organization's revenue. Like, nonprofits have to be very creative when it comes to growing revenue streams and not relying on solely grant funding. Okay. Building partnerships and collaborations can really help to elevate and increase the chances of your revenue and gaining their revenue for your budget, for your business, right? This is where the whole "you can get a grant without writing it" comes into play, right? Because if you establish a good relationship, a good working commitment or collaborative relationship with your partners and foundations, guess what they'll do? They'll write you into grants, right? And you don't even have to write the grant yourself. They can do the legwork and share a portion or percentage of revenue with you, right? And because they do that, the second benefit is that it strengthens your programs, your organizational programs, okay? Combining the two of you, let's say, you know, for my example earlier with the drug and alcohol prevention program, and working with a safety coalition in the community that has law enforcement on their panel, right? We can come together and create programs together, and that will only strengthen, if not enhance, my impact and my mission and their impact and mission, right? It shows that we both have an understanding of what the assignment is. I understood the assignment, right? This is how you get to do that, okay? And so you get to lower overall expenditure costs, and your partners really can hone in on the brand awareness, right? This only strengthens that avenue when it comes to, of course, marketing and everything. And that's not important per se for the sake of this episode, but it is important to think about. But these are some positive, right? Positive things that help strengthen your organization. Think about you, and think about how this is a win for you and a win for them, okay? Another positive thing is that you get to increase your credibility and broaden your network, okay? You get to tap into a market with your collaborative partners that you would probably never get a chance to on your own, or it may be harder to do on your own, okay? Increasing that credibility or perceived expertise, right, is also to help enhance your brand awareness and help to improve your credibility in what your organization is doing, right? Donors and grant makers and grant funders and philanthropists and anybody in the money space when it comes to the funding aspect want to see this. This is the stuff they care about. This is the stuff that helps them say, wow, this is why I give my dollars. This is why I support this mission. This is why I am all about this, okay? And you want to be the this that they say I'm giving and investing in, right? Because you understand what it takes to have a program and really be a part of the village, be a part of the community, enhance that. Okay, you can't do it by yourself. That's the thing. You cannot do this by yourself. Okay, and another benefit, if you are taking notes, definitely write this down. Another positive is that it helps to promote inclusivity. Okay, having that partnership, collaborative partnership, can really help to open doors for people who don't get a chance to grow within their space. Create job opportunities, right, of living wages to help improve leadership abilities and technical assistance and all of these cool factors, right? So having a wide range of different perspectives from different backgrounds can really help diversify your program initiatives and goals. And that just, boom, takes you from level 50 to level 100 in no time. I kid you not, guys, I see it so many times where a amazing program lose and miss out on funding because they don't have collaborative partners, or they don't have the right collaborative partners, the partners that make sense to have to help enhance this program. So avoid this detrimental step. And what is that detrimental step again? Just to recap, is having a lack of collaborative partners and having a lack of the right collaborative partners. The pros of building a collaborative partner, well, you get to have increased credibility. You get to connect with a broader network that you probably wouldn't have been able to connect with. You help to build brand awareness. You help to improve your efficiency. You help to increase your program and your organizational's revenue streams, and you get to strengthen your programs for sustainability over time. Those are amazing. Those are the things, like I said, funders want to see and funders want to fund. I promise. You do this step, you won't lose. You really won't lose. You really just increase your chances of maximizing that federal grant. Honestly, this really just takes you from zero to hero in no time. So here is my food for thought in all of this. What's a good rule of thumb when it comes to having partnerships, collaborative partnerships? How many is a good number? What is too much? And the answer is you can never have too many. Okay. A good rule of thumb, honestly, is to have a solid 10 minimum, but 20 and up is definitely appropriate. What? Yeah. That sounds like a lot. I know, guys. You were thinking I was going to say probably 2 or 3. No. If you really want to diversify your funding and your revenue streams and increase your chances of getting funded, you definitely need to have at least 10 minimum collaborative partners that are actually working and making a commitment, right, toward these different positive avenues that I mentioned earlier on in the episode, and 10 is a good magic number. So anyway, this has been fun. I love talking about this stuff. And if you love talking about it or listening with me and want to have a more private one-on-one conversation, then definitely go to nonprofitunplugged.com so you can find out when I do my live Q&As with my tribe. I want y'all to be a part of the tribe if you are not already. So join the tribe. nonprofitunplugged.com. From there, I have some really, really awesome bonuses, such as the Master Grant Writing class that teaches you how to do everything I just mentioned in the episode, right? Learn how to build those collaborative partnerships. Find grant funding that will support that, okay? And you don't have to search high and low for it anymore. You know exactly where to go and how to search for the perfect grant that you qualify for and learn how to write that grant. Okay. You also get a success kit 2.0 that really helps put the course on easy mode for you. You'll know exactly what resources to go to and how to get there. So definitely check out nonprofitunplugged.com or go to mastergrantwriting.com and definitely snag this grant writing course. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Promise you. And you get to see me twice a month and work through the challenge together. What? I know. I love sharing my time, and I want my time to be definitely worth you growing and enhancing where you are and not staying stagnant. We no longer are going to be nonprofits and small businesses or even corporate businesses, right? That just kind of straddle the fence. We are jumping hurdles, leaps, bounds. We are killing it. Okay. And you are in that. You do qualify. You do matter. So find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Clubhouse and LinkedIn at Shakira Relaford. And on Twitter, you can find Nonprofit Unplugged at Nonprofit Capital UNPLU1. Please share this episode with someone you know, love, and trust who can really benefit from growing their business and nonprofit organization. It costs nothing to pay it forward, but everything if you don't take action. So, guys, stay encouraged, and I can't wait to see you on top.
You've been listening to Nonprofit Unplugged. Please rate and comment this show for more amazing content.